Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and it is September 7th, and we are just days away from the beginning of the 2022-2023 Lions Super Bowl season.
Yeah, baby.
Anyways, so on this episode, we'll react to the last Hard Knocks for a brief moment, but then really we're going to be predicting the Lions record for the season, maybe a couple awards, and then previewing week one here. Against the Eagles, and there's a lot to talk about with the injury report and how we're gonna face this team and everything like that. So don't put that phone down, don't turn off the radio wherever you're listening to this. We got a lot of good stuff for you, but first let's just react to Hard Knocks really quick. Let's get that out of the way. Last episode,
hey, wait. You gotta introduce.
A lot of things in my mind, a lot of exciting things. Sorry, so I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the Blue Cooling. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And then Bob.
Hello, Lions fans.
And maybe he'll chime in every once in a while, but we got our producer, Kid J, on the line as well.
JJ.
So we hear that voice that you'd make that
lovely,
seems out of place.
Lovely boy.
All right. Now we can start the podcast.
Right.
So let's just react to Hard Knocks really quick. Is there anything that you guys notice? I'll just start really quick with the thing I noticed from the episode. My one takeaway was just how all the players, even though they're getting cut, still respect the hell out of the coaching staff. I thought that was really interesting.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if I ever get fired, though, I want Campbell and Holmes to fire me. I'd just go out of there feeling good.
I want to hire them to break up with my girlfriends when I want to end it. You know, they just make them feel good.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe you could do that on Cameo or something.
You know what's funny, though? I love how it's who was it harder for? The guy who was losing his job? the guy who had to take it. Like, Dan was he was dying in there.
That's a hard thing to do, though. It was tough to watch some of those guys. Skipper was not looking too happy there.
I think they cut away right before he started to actually break down. I think he went all the way.
Yeah, but some of those guys, it was really, got to give him credit.
Hey, can you blame
Pimpleton,
him?
I mean, his attitude is just incredible. I don't know.
Yeah.
The smiling the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, he conveyed it to a roster spot.
And easy. I mean, I think he kind of summed up what the season was about and what this coaching staff's about, that he says they let them be themselves, you know, that be their own person. And I think that says a lot about the whole coaching staff, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. Bob, did you have any takeaways?
Yeah, that was probably the main thing. The only other takeaway I just have in general about the show is I think it's pretty much run its course. I think, I don't know, you guys want that all season, but I think the Hard Knocks, I think probably four episodes would have been good. But now that football's here,
I was ready. Yeah, we're ready for the season to start.
Yeah, we're definitely ready for this. Yeah, I'm not exactly agreeing with you, Bob, but that by the last one, it's okay, let's go.
I would not be mad if we had what the Cardinals had now, if it just continued from Hard Knocks through the season. That wouldn't make me mad. I'd like that. It's double dose of Lions every week for the whole season. That would not make me mad at all. But
it's hard to get enough of Dan Campbell. I really love that when he's on. Yeah, pull Penny Sewell out, because he had a certain number of plays around him. He's motherfucking me. He says, they're fucking rookies motherfucking me. I had a tear in my eye. I was so proud. I love that.
That was awesome.
That was just a great moment. Great moment.
That was good.
The thing that's go
ahead, Red Dog.
I really thought what Dan at that last question is what lingered with me the most. The way he sat there for 2 minutes straight, just Like, the question was a simple question. The Lions will what? The 2022 Lions will blank, but he understood the power, how important it was to answer that question. And he sat there and just, like, thought silently. Like, anyone who thinks this guy is just some meathead is in for something else. Like, meatheads don't think that deeply. Like, I just love seeing
after
that.
After 30 seconds, it was like, what he was thinking was stupid. He's like, shit, I can't say that.
Damn, yeah, bro. Damn it.
No, he's awesome. Love Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the Lions can and will.
David Blau departs the Lion, or he leaves the Lions for Minnesota. Thoughts about that move at all? Right move for David
good
Blau.
Good riddance, I guess. Well,
Blau.
And they signed Nate Sutfeld.
Blau wasn't going anywhere here, and Minnesota did it just so they can spy on us and get you know, get what he learned. Right. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Typical shenanigans.
Honestly, I just feel good about him leaving. Like, I did not even really like. He obviously has something to offer in some capacity, but it doesn't appear to be like throwing the football reliably in a game.
Well, Doug,
so,
tell me what you really think. Tell us, you were talking to me before. Tell him what you really about David Blau.
What do I really think? Oh, I mean, he's got a punchable face, so I mean, that's not mad about seeing him go. He's just not a competent NFL quarterback. I just don't. He must be like a good mind. I imagine he'll be like Kellen Moore soon and be on a coaching staff.
Yeah, I didn't mind the guy. I thought he was an interesting guy to bring in, and I was rooting for him. But I think he kind of figured out too that he's probably not getting very far in Detroit.
And yeah,
maybe a change of pace would be good for him. And like you say, the Vikings want some sequels.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Especially after signed Sudfeld. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what he expects, though, when you're so ineffective at your job, though.
So, Hard Knocks, it's done. It's over with. A lot of exposure for the Lions nationally coming to this season. You can tell that by the amount of bets that are on the Lions in Vegas this year compared to. Some priors, a lot of positive vibes. I think the show had a large role to play with that.
Did you see they were talking about the jerseys on the show about
Rodrigo is number two.
Yeah, Hutch is number one, obviously. But
yeah, that was reasons,
like the monster we created.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. That's a great point, Bob. About Hard Knocks has definitely reached the fan base in that regard for sure.
Hey, Eminem was on there. You know, that's a mega.
That's cool.
Detroit.
That was kind of cool. It's kind of weird.
And he owns a spaghetti. That spaghetti company.
Mom's spaghetti,
right?
Man.
Yeah.
Mom's spaghetti.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
As they photographed it with the labels all pointing towards the camera.
Mom's spaghetti. No marketing in this show.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Our next is over. Now it's time for the season to begin. Before we preview, do you guys want to preview week one or do the season predictions first? What do we do?
I think we should talk about a few of the injury things going on here. Basically.
Well, that's why I was. That's why I didn't.
Why don't we talk about the game first? Because then we'll have a feeling about where we're.
Well, except the injuries affect that. You know,
I might as well just look the ugly truth in the face and get it out of the way here.
All right,
Talk about the injuries in the first game, and then we'll
let's do that.
All right, so starting the season on the IR, the injured reserve, these guys cannot return to week five. So the big one this week was Big V. He goes on the IR. He won't be back till week five now.
Right.
We're this close to having the starting five. Unbelievable.
This might sound bad, but Big V would probably be the most replaceable one of the five, I would think.
What'd you think about they had Sewell practicing at guard today? Did you see that?
Oh, really?
I did not see that. No,
they're trying different combinations.
Yeah,
I hope they don't do that.
Another issue here too.
Kramer conjunction here.
Kramer did not show up for practice today. He did not practice.
He did not show up.
He's supposed to be, supposedly the next in line at right guard, and he didn't practice. But no one knows why. It could be an injury. It could be nothing. And also, the other thing I read was that
Frank Ragnow is limited by groin injury.
That's the one. So I was thinking,
oh no,
Ragnow.
Yeah, that is
bad. All these are back. Big V's got a back injury. So Jameson Williams, Kabinda,
yeah.
Romeo Okwara, Jerry Jacobs, and Josh Pascal, all as well on the IR, not eligible to return to week 5. As UJ mentioned, Tommy Craver out with a back issue. Levi out with Wunzirike out with a back issue. That'll never go away. John Kaminsky was out with an illness today. Then limited in practice today was Frank Ragnow with a groin injury. Julian Okwara with a hamstring that he's been dealing with all summer. Chris Board, the linebacker, iffy, was back at practice in a limited capacity today. So nice. That's a good thing. That's actually progress. And then our kicker, the right groin injury, which is his kicking leg.
You knew we weren't going to suddenly go unscathed by injury, so I guess. To be expected, but it's crazy how it's cropping up right before
game. Yeah, I know. Especially Ragnow's got to go up against Jordan Davis. So,
and the Eagles are pretty much fully healthy.
Yeah, Evan Neal might have to go against Evan Brown, I mean.
So, there's a lot more to deal with there than we thought just only a few days ago, even, in terms of the injury report. The fact that Ragnow's already dealing with this injury is not a good sign either. He just spent pretty much a whole year off. So it's frustrating to see the injury list already. But nonetheless, the Lions will have a game to play that is on Sunday, September 11th, the opening day. And this is in Detroit at noon. And the Lions play at noon every game this year, except for the Thanksgiving one that starts at 11:30.
Noon Central time, that is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll get into that. I'll get into the schedule later.
Come on, Zeke. Come on.
All right, let's do the Philly game first. So,
all right,
last year, the Lions. In week 8, it was rough. Lost 44-6.
Yeah.
It was our worst 44 game to 6. Of the season, right?
Gave up 236 yards on the ground rushing. That's 5 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. It was a nightmare. This game was a complete and utter disaster by every stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, the Lions could not stop the run at all in that game. Yeah. That was probably the low point of the season for me. I was at that game, and it was like a ghost town. You know, they usually fill up the stadium fairly well on a general basis, but the people were not liking the product, and it was not showing up that day.
Was that after we had already won, though, our first game that
No,
year?
We were 0-8.
We were 0-8 at that point? Oh, God.
No, well, we were 0-8 after this game, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So this is a great barometer to see how much we've improved.
Absolutely.
In 1 year.
Yeah, no kidding.
People have the Eagles as their dark horse pick for the Super Bowl this year with some of the trades they've made in the offseason. People say Lions have a top 5 offensive line. Well, a lot of people might say the Eagles have the best offensive line in the league next to like the Chiefs. A great test for our new defensive line. Great test for Hutch right out of the gate.
This
going
whole
against Lane Johnson, most likely. What's that?
Whole team's about to get tested.
Oh, absolutely.
I like it, though. I like a big test like that and at home, which is nice to start out
what's
at home.
Funny, too, is on paper, it seems like the Eagles have a pretty distinct advantage from top to bottom. However, Vegas doesn't think it's that big. What is it, 3.5-point spread on this game?
Because 4.
Which isn't that much.
That's nice.
I don't know. Is it just the positivity coming off of Hard Knocks or what? Carry over from that? I don't know. But
It's 4, and the over-under is 49.
It's changed slightly because of the injuries. I don't know, but I don't know. But
so the Eagles, they traded for AJ Brown this during the draft on draft night. They have Devontae Smith still, so they've improved wide receivers a little bit. Jalen Hurts is still their starting quarterback with Gardner Minshew, my favorite backup in the NFL. As their second string. But they have Jason Kelce on the offensive line, Lane Johnson, a right tackle, Jordan Mailata, a left tackle. So, I mean, it's a pretty stacked offensive line. And then Hassan Reddick is their outside linebacker now. They have Josh Sweat at one D end, Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and a guy I'm really fascinated to see, Jordan Davis.
Oh gosh, yeah.
That'll be really, as much as I hate to see him on the Eagles, I'm not, I hate the Eagles, but it'll be really fun to watch him play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Darius Slay, of course.
Yeah. Right.
Come back to Detroit. So hopefully he has the yips that day.
You know, this team might have all this down on paper because they have it all. You're right. They got every position. They got like a recognizable name. But I feel like that does not always guarantee success. And we've seen plenty of teams like that.
No, sports, football's won on paper. You didn't know that?
Oh, damn.
They change it.
You win the offseason, you win the Super Bowl. That's what they usually, that's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
And football especially.
Yeah. But I would think that the players who are still, who were on last year's team that are on this year's team are going to remember that score and be pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Little added.
Absolutely.
Chip on their shoulder.
I mean, the first and foremost, the Lions have to stop the run. This is going to be a team that still wants to run the ball down your throat. Jalen Hurts only threw the ball 14 times last year against the Lions for 103 yards. So he barely was a factor at all. Well, besides his legs. And maybe that's the killer. Seven carries for 71 yards last year for Hurts.
Yeah. We didn't have Rodrigo last year. So,
Hey, and this energized fan base, too. The game is sold out. They're selling standing room tickets. That place is going to be electric.
Yeah.
So if we punch them in the mouth early, get the crowd against them, could be a fun game.
Absolutely. We need to get the crowd into it here in Detroit. I think it could be a real weapon for us if we can get them on our side, you know, give them something to cheer about. So,
yeah.
No doubt. So, Jarrett, this is so what? Oh, I guess the comments as well. Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell. I don't know if they're just like trying to play games or what, but it sounded like Dan Campbell didn't say Ben Johnson has complete control of the offense. It sounds like it's still a team.
I love the language you used.
Yeah,
he still has like a yearning to call the plays. He's not going to lie, like. What does that mean? Yeah. Does that mean you're gonna? Does that mean like it's a perfectly vague answer? And I loved it. It's like, oh, we'll find out.
He probably wants to hand it over to Ben Johnson intellectually, but he just can't do it because he loves it.
Why tip anything to the Eagles? Let the Eagles not know. And why say anything now?
But why hide it?
If you say, okay, I'm definitely gonna call the plays. Well, they got something to go off of the Eagles from last year. They can look at what Campbell did. He had a half a season's work there, but they know nothing about Ben Johnson calling plays,
right?
So I mean,
Ben Johnson was helping call the plays.
I'm just saying it was mostly Campbell, and they can't really key on anything he's done in the past. So it's a kind of a guessing game what he's going to do. I mean, why
it
tip
just taxes
off anything?
Their planning process slightly.
Whatever they do, why tip it off now? There's no point
exactly
until game time.
That's no reason to.
Well,
I'm curious to see, though.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a huge game for Lee McNeil and the defensive tackles to be able to, you know, not get blown off the ball like they did last year and free up those linebackers and let Anzalone be his all-pro linebacker self.
Did I sense a little sarcasm there, Big Z? Maybe just a little bit.
I am still worried in going into this game about the linebackers. I mean, Rodrigo's looked great in the preseason, but that's preseason. Regular season's a different story. But it's really the other linebackers that worry me more.
You know, Anzalone was named captain with his teammates.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's true.
That's good. Also, Josh Woods. Did you see that? Special teams captain.
I don't know.
I just think this year that Rodrigo might actually be like low key. A lot of this season hinges on him. I think he could be, because we didn't do a whole lot to address linebacker this year. We threw a sixth round draft pick at it effectively and then signed a guy, you know, off of special teams and board. And like, so, I mean, but like, if he turns out to be as good as I think he can be, as I think a lot of us feel he can be, like he can be almost like our Micah Parsons. Him and Hutch combined, I think, can take this defense to a whole new level. And I really do think he's going to help shore up, give a firmness in our run game you know, in his gap fitting, in his play recognition that we just haven't had in some time.
Well, as a public service announcement, I would like to say that this is the part of the dangers of drinking too much Kool-Aid.
Yeah. He was mainlining there.
He was mainlining. Bob.
I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying if he plays as good as we think he can, I think that's what's going to help
the joys of Kool-Aid. Oh, my God. Yeah. So Malcolm Rodriguez.
So what's your point, UJ?
Well, if Rodriguez is listening to the podcast, which I know he is, then
most players do.
The pressure's all on you, man.
Yeah, all on you. Rodriguez. That's it, man.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Whole season.
I think he can handle it. Dude's built like granite.
Anyway, yeah, but Big Z, you're absolutely right. The way for us to win this game is we have to slow down their run game. If we can do that, we got a chance in this game. I seriously think, because if we can make Hurts just throw the ball or have to throw the ball, it's really to our advantage. So, yeah, we got to stop that run game.
I'd say our explosive plays will be the key to this game.
I actually think our offense will do okay in this game.
I think if we can score, I agree the defense obviously has to do something, but like I think if we can score, as long as our offense is capable of doing what we want, I think we can win this game. That's going to be a lot of the season.
You have the score just has to win? Are you sure about that?
Wait. Oh, shit. Guys, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the wrong sport. But no, I'm just saying that like, you got to, like, I think you see it in so many games, like that Notre Dame Ohio State game. You just could tell the potential for Ohio State to score at any given moment was that much greater than Notre Dame's. The teams that have the offense at the end of the game and when you need it are the teams that seem to win these days. And I mean, I think that's partly by design. But
Notre Dame's 0-1. I forgot about that. No, Michigan is 1-0. But anyway, back to NFL. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a real big comparison there.
You had to get that Michigan shout out in there, didn't you, Ben?
Yeah. Michigan's non-conference schedule is horrendous. Like,
it is. It's terrible.
Yeah, like Hawaii? They're 52-point favorites this week, Michigan. Crazy.
Yeah, JJ's getting the start. So
they got the kind of season you need to go undefeated, huh, to get into the playoff.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Back to the Lions. Come on, back to the Lions now.
All right, so let's get down to it, shall we, with our first prediction
I'm so excited.
Of the 2022-2023 so season. Excited. And that, of course, is the Lions at home, 4-point underdogs, 49 over-under. This one's in Detroit at noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. UJ, what is your prediction?
Oh, boy, I get to start this one off. Thanks, Big Z. Oh, boy, where do I start? Well, like we talked about earlier, it's all in the running game, okay? This is the key for us is stopping that running game. Slowing down the Eagles' running game. I think our offense will do fairly well with the Eagles. We have too many weapons right now, and I can just see us making use of them. I think Goff's going to have a good game, a couple touchdown passes at least. The key, though, is our defense, man. We can slow down that run, and I think we can do it. We just have to keep them to like under 150 yards, I'd say, which is a pretty safe bet. We could do it. And this team's going to be jacked up, man. We're ready. And the crowd's going to be electric. It's going to be fantastic. So, oh, boy. I know a lot of people are picking against it, but I'm leaning. I think the Lions are going to pull this one out. I really do. I think they're going to – it's going to be the over. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Mm-hmm. I think Lions win 39-27.
Oh,
yes. Yes. I think we pull the Eagles have a chance right at the end to go ahead, but we're going to do a pick six and go up by two scores, pull out this game, put it away. I think we started the season 1-0 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, yeah, baby. On our way.
Beautiful. Woo! Beautiful. All right. Rud Dog.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah, no, I mean, there's no doubt this team, this Eagles team looks pretty loaded. Everyone's pretty hyped about them. You know, I keep seeing all these people saying this is like a for sure loss on our and stuff. People not as wise as you did. And, you know, I think Bob was right. I think we're going to be pissed about last year. I think this team isn't going to know what freaking hit them. I think they're going to come in and there's just too many things. They're about to get hit by a freaking freight train of energy that's been built of like pent up just, I can't say there's no words, but like that. Like it's ready to burst, and we're gonna fucking hit them like a sledgehammer.
If you gotta step out,
and we're gonna get the over.
Courtesy flush over there.
We're gonna get the over 45-13. We're gonna dominate them. We're gonna return the favor they gave us last year.
35-13. That's your prediction.
Yes, Chark's gonna go off. St. Brown, Swifty boy. It's going to be freaking awesome. We're going to be feeling good.
Good line. All right. Good line, by the way. Thank you for that. Yeah.
We like it.
What do you say?
The courtesy flush over there.
Yeah. or whatever. We thought there was something wrong with your stomach.
Yeah. You're bearing down there.
You know?
All right, Bob. All right.
Words escaped me.
All right, game one. I've been waiting for this all year. So excited about this game. Connor and I will be in attendance.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I think this game's going to be good. The offense, I'm just excited to see what they are. I mean, we got hints about it in practice, but we don't get to see any of the plays they have drawn up, those very vanilla offenses of the preseason. But I think they got some tricks up their sleeve, and I'm excited to see these offensive weapons we have on, especially our receivers now, and an energized Swift. So offense will be fine, and I think the defense are starting to believe in themselves, and Hutch is going to go off. He's going to put himself on the map right away. So I'm excited. I think we get the revenge match here. This one element that could happen too. Ooh. If we get Hurts out of the game, if Hutch knocks him out, then Minshew will come in, and then he'll be throwing to Shark the whole time, not realizing he's on the other team. So that could help us too.
There's an element we didn't
take
out.
36-16, ooh, Lions.
Man.
Yeah.
Momentum from there.
I like it.
A lot of points y'all are firing off. It. All right.
Okay. Well, if you're Big Z's Bob's conservative prediction pool, now. Okay. Come on. Let us have
this is going to be a tough one. Like I was mentioning, this Eagles team has a deep roster. I forgot to mention CJ Gardner-Johnson, who they just traded for as well.
Not CJ Gardner-Johnson.
So we're
screwed, guys. Can I change my prediction back?
Go for it.
I'm just kidding. I don't care.
All right, Big D. Come on. Let him talk. Come on.
Anyways, this is going to be a tough one. I do think the Lions get down early, actually, in this one. I do think they're going to have it. But Aaron Glenn, I think, is going to make some adjustments in the second half that allows Lions to come back. They win it with a late field goal, 24-23, and the Lions take the first game. But it'll be a close one.
It'll be the under. You're picking the under in this game.
I am. I think there'll be a lot of rush. I think there'll be a lot of rushing, which melts the clock down faster, too. So. I do like the under. If I had to pick my favorite bet in the game, would be the under. But
all right,
alas, man. So. But we all have predicted a Lions victory.
Whoa! Connor's not here, but he did predict the Lions would win. I don't have a.
Have we ever done that before?
All right.
Have we ever all picked the same before?
This is unprecedented. I think we have.
I'm not 40. Sure.
It's unprecedented.
This is our 50th prediction, I believe, too. This is our fourth season doing this. Wow. 16 games, and then went to 17 last year, so that's 49. Wow. So 50! This is number 50
carry
prediction. And each one of the 50, we predicted a Lions victory as a unanimous decision.
Surely there must be a rupture in the space-time continuum. This is inconceivable.
And we all now get paid the veteran minimum, so. That's a good thing.
Hey, like Jared Davis.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Can we talk about the practice squad a little bit, though? The new nature of it and everything? I'm sorry. Was
real quick.
Anyone else
go
not
for it.
Fascinated by this?
Slightly fascinated, but go for it.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, it's like there's a new dynamic that's been sort of hiding out there, this, like, bench squad. And what's the rules around it? Is it the same as practice squad? You can just hide veterans on it now, too? Or does anyone know the answer here?
Yeah, I mean, can either put a veteran on. They changed the rules during COVID as part of the CBA. Or maybe it's part of the CBA. I can't remember exactly. But, it's either a spot, yeah, for, like, if you need an emergency veteran, or if you want to develop a player, it's really how you know each team wants to use those slots.
But it's also interesting that you can pay above the minimums. Like it's like you
can
pay.
That
wasn't like the practice squad.
Could hey,
you always
we could
pay?
Do a whole episode on the practice squad rules. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that would be. We should go into.
I mean, it counts against the salary cap, so it's not like it's just like. They can pay whatever they want on the practice squad. It counts against the salary cap. So.
My point is it changes the whole strategy of roster building is all. It's a pretty massive change if you look at it in the way like the fact that Jared Davis can now sit ready to join our, you know, team at any moment, or like that just wasn't possible before. You had maybe some young rookies who just weren't ready for the main roster, but you know, having seasoned vets in reserve is nice. That's different. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason for that, I think, is the Lions maybe didn't want him to get picked up by another team.
I get that. I'm just saying the whole concept. It's like I get it's for the 17-game season to help, you know, carry through eat better, but I still think it's pretty fascinating.
All right. No. So maybe we could touch on that more down the line. But right now I want to get into our season predictions. So really quick, the Lions, I think I mentioned earlier, play every game at noon, noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern this year, except for Thanksgiving, which is at 11:30. But I'm just going to run through the schedule for you really quick. So the Lions hosting the Eagles, obviously, this week, week one. Week two, hosting Washington. Week three, at Minnesota. Week four, home against Seattle. Week five, at New England. Bye week, week six. Another early bye week. Mm. Sucks. Week seven. By the way, that bye week is October 16th, so if you have big vacation plans, make them then. All right. Sunday, October 23rd, that's week seven. That's at Dallas right after the bye. Then home and home against Miami and Green Bay. Then at Chicago, at New York. Then home against Buffalo on Thanksgiving. Ooh, great Thanksgiving game.
Ooh,
that's the one you want to catch Buffalo on. Then home against Jacksonville in Minnesota. Then at New York, at Carolina. Then home against Chicago. Then at Green Bay. That's the 18-week season for you. Yeah. So
I love Buffalo on Thanksgiving.
I do, too. Awesome.
It's going to be really interesting, yeah.
So who wants to go first with their season prediction, their record for the season?
Well, I could start it out.
All right, Bob, yes.
Well, I'm buying into the Campbell mania and all this stuff, and I think they're going to surprise some people and make the playoffs. I see an 11-7 record for this squad.
Ooh, they're play 18 games?
Yeah, is it? Wait, or 10-7. What did I say? 10-7. Sorry about that. Oh.
What, did we lose our first playoff game again?
No, then we win the first.
Okay, 10-7. I like it, brother.
Yeah,
I do like it.
I like it.
Sorry about that.
Who do you have them losing to in out of those seven?
Well, let's see. I think one of those Minnesota games, unfortunately. I like to say.
You don't have to point them all out. Just point out a few.
With Green Bay, you know. But I don't know. Might surprise Buffalo. I just think we're going to lose some, but we're going to be in most all these games.
Yeah, for sure. And that would be a big, seven-game improvement would be massive in 1 year, Campbell and team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, go Lions.
All
Lions,
right.
Baby.
Rud Dog.
All right. So, I don't know. Like, all these people keep talking about progress. Like, it has to be this, like, baby step thing. Like, well, if we go from 3-1 and whatever to 6, that's like we're happy. And all these people are saying we're happy. And I'm like, why would we be happy with that? You know, I don't. The way I see it, you know, the kind of growth that Dan Campbell's growing here, it's going to be exponential. So what we had, 3.5 wins last year times 3.5, that's exponential growth, equals 12.25 wins. I'm going to round up to 13 wins this year. Wow. I just think this team is, I don't see anyone on the schedule that I'm actually scared of. Obviously, there's some stacked teams, and, you know, it's the NFL. There's a lot of, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be really hard, but I just think this team's going to have embody what Dan Campbell instilled in them, and they're going to be gritty, and they're going to be tough, and I think they have the talent, especially on offense, to win every game they're in. And, you know, sure, they got to lose some, so there'll be some of that in there, but they're going to win the division as well. What's that?
Do they have it on defense?
Oh, I think they... No, here's the thing. I think this defense is going to be a little bit firmer than last year. Maybe even a lot more. But it's, like I said, it's going to hinge a lot on...
Rodrigo.
I mean, the progress is going to hinge a lot on Rodrigo. Like, I'm not saying it's all his... You know, if he's good, we're good. If not, but like,
actually,
it's going to be
kind of like that.
Like, obviously, Hutch has to do his thing too, but we didn't address linebacker, and he's our best chance to dramatically improve the position, and he's showing all signs that he will. And so I think he just increases our ceiling with those signs. And so I think our defense is going to be explosive. I think they're going to be opportunistic. I don't think they're necessarily going to be, you know, the most shutdown defense. I think they'll give up some plays, but I think they're going to be scrappy. And guys like Warrior are going to go off. I think Chase Lucas is going to play a meaningful role in this defense by midseason. I think our safeties, I like our safeties. I hope Kirby Joseph, I hope to see him take over for Deshaun Elliott also by about midseason. I think, especially as a roamer at free safety. But yeah, I think this defense, I mean, sure, there's a lot of what ifs, but hey, what are we doing here?
Again, let's talk about the dangers of too much Kool-Aid. But
you might as well just put the sign on my forehead.
I like the way Hutch is just an afterthought in your whole thing. Hey, Hutch does his thing, but Rodney.
I'm assuming Hutch. You know, obviously Hutch is the biggest thing, but I mean, that's why he's just so focused on him. Just, you know, adding a little spice, a little flavor. Hutch is the main course, baby. He's going to be a freaking awesome. I mean, I think he can do what Bosa did for the 49ers that year. They made a run, and he'll take this defense to the next level. I know, you know, they had a lot of good players on that defense, but I think we have quite a few ourselves.
So 13-4 is your prediction, right?
Yes. With a division win.
That was from multiplying 3.5 times 3.5.
That's a division win. And we go to the playoffs, you know, get at home. We win the conference round at home.
Before our users, we win the Super Bowl. Check your math about rounding up, by the way. 3.5 times 3.5 is 12.25, and rounding up, well, you don't round up in that scenario. You round down to 12.
I did, though.
Okay.
He's an acorn user. He rounds up.
It's the new math.
Anyway,
yeah, but you can round anything you want up. Who cares? What rule is that you can't round up something that's below
the new math
halfway? I know that's a general rule of thumb, Big Z, you're throwing at my face. I just rounded it up because there's cool.
Big Z's grandmother was a teacher. She knows these.
Mine was too.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. UJ.
All right. Well, it's hard to follow that. Red Dog. As much as I give you a hard time about your Kool-Aid, you know, addiction, I'm with you a little bit. I do think the prognosticators, most of the writers, the beat writers, they're a bunch of pussies. And I'm only saying this because I think they're just too afraid to think this team can be any good. Oh, if we say that we sound like homers, we sound like this, you know, you know, I want to sound smarter, and I'm not going to, you know, if they win, well, it's okay, but, you know, I don't want to sound like it. Anyway, I think they're just too afraid of their own shadows to write anything too positive. And but I think there's a lot of positive to go with this team. If you look at this defense last year, at the end of the season, our defense is becoming effective. Okay, I'm not saying we were a great defense, but we were effective. We were making critical stops when we needed them, a key turnover at special times, and we started to win a few games. And that was last year's defense. We've added a lot of players this year. So I'm not saying we're going to be a top 10 D, but I think our D will be improved. I think fairly significantly, especially with Hutch. Oh, my God. I think Hutch is going to add just a dimension we haven't seen in years. But our offense, man, our offense looks loaded and ready to do damage. So if our defense can just, man, just carry its weight, make some critical stops here and there, I think we can win a lot of games. And I think we're going to be in every game. So I'm going to be optimistic here, too. And I'm going to say 11-6 as our record this year. You know, there's going to be a couple losses along the way. It's the NFL. If things happen. It's not the ref's fault. It's our fault if we lose. But, you know.
It's the ref's fault. It's the ref's fault.
I'm buying into Campbell's mantra, man. It's our fault. It's not the ref's fault. It's never the ref's fault. It's no one else's fault but ours.
Into existence.
Our fault.
Heartbreaking.
Our
loss.
Fault if no. we lose. So, you know, but it's inevitable. It's the NFL. A lot of parity. So, but I really, really have a good feeling about this team this year. And why not? Why can't we win more games? Let's do it, man. 11-6 and playoff bound. That's my prediction.
What about the division?
I say we got a good shot at the division. I don't think the Packers are going to be, I think the Bears are going to suck. I think the Vikings will be okay. They're going to be a kind of a wild card. Packers will definitely be probably the favorite to win this division like they always are. But they got a few weak points too. So it's not a given that they're going to win it. So I think it's up for grabs personally. And why not? Why don't we grab it?
Christian Watson.
I see all these.
Christian Watson to step up.
Yeah.
I see all these people getting, you know, knee burn over the freaking Vikings this year. I don't see why they're going to be so great. I mean, I think they'll be a solid team, but like,
they got David Blau now.
People are acting like they're like ready to just dominate this division and like they're just assumed to beat the Lions.
Did you guys see that interview with Campbell? He was like, asked him to go through the division, and he's like, yeah, you know, the Packers are tough, you know, and the Vikings got a really good team down there, and he's like, the Bears, you know, they got a new coach. he gave nothing to the Bears, really.
I missed that. But that's great.
I think it was on that fan thing or whatever. But it was good. And then so basically he sees the Packers, the Vikings as the threats.
Yeah.
But then he followed up with it. But we're way better this year. So
that's right.
So he wasn't counting them as better than the Lions. He's just saying they were the challenging ones.
And we're grittier too.
The Lions. Yes. So the odds to win a division, this is for DraftKings. Packers -175, Vikings 2.5-1, Lions 10-1, 10-1 to win the division, and Bears 15-1.
Sell your house.
Tell me the odds.
Bet it out.
So I'll go. I agree with the 10-7 assessment. I do think the Lions are going to have a little bit of bumps. It's hard to completely turn it around, but I do think 10-7 will get them to playoffs. I don't know if that'll win the division per se, but I really like the way they're improving, and I think they actually have a favorable schedule this year, which I think will absolutely play in their favor. So one thing about the Lions schedule, besides the fact that they play at the same time every week, which I think is good for consistency purposes, there's not a lot of change in their schedule. The Lions also travel the least of any team in the NFL this year. They have the least amount of miles traveled, which is at least worth over a win, according to like some statisticians out there.
So, yeah, I like that.
But I like beating Chicago twice. I think they stink. They play New York. They play Carolina. I think those are wins. That's 4. Jacksonville, I don't think, is very good. 5. New York, 6. Then it's a matter of stealing a couple. I think Washington's not very good. 7. New England, the Matt Patricia revenge game. Matt Patricia's calling offense for New England this year. And it's always tough travel on the road, but I think that could be an 8th or 9th win. That's just a matter of being nice a couple of the good teams, whether it's
if this,
Minnesota won.
10-7 would include a signature win on Thanksgiving with Jameson Williams coming on. It's a big, flashy game.
That'd be incredible.
Hutch showing up with a couple sacks. I think that would be put the Lions on the national
map.
That
would be epic.
Oh, so. That would be absolutely epic. That'd be great. And I do love catching Buffalo on you know, the Thanksgiving game. Hopefully they'll, you know, throw them off a little bit and give the Lions the advantage at home.
Honestly, them and Philly, right?
What about Philly?
Game one at home. It's just like extra high energy game.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully the injuries, you know, don't get too out of hand like they already seem like they're starting to before you even play a snap.
I know. That's the only thing that bothers me.
UJ, maybe this, you know, Big V gets hurt. Tyman Kramer, Stenberg might get in there, might get some time.
True. But, hey, but something Campbell said during Hard Knocks, too, I just remember he said about the injuries and stuff. Just, this team's just all about, hey, next guy up, man. I mean, I know that's a cliche term nowadays, but I think he, like, really means it. Like, these guys are, they're just ready to go. And, like, whoever it is, and it is expected to just do it. And it, for some reason, I don't know why, but I think it has kind of a deeper meaning with Campbell. I don't know. And I think the players actually, like, believe it. Like, they don't worry about, like, oh, if Ragnall gets hurt or somebody gets hurt. They're just going to fucking go with the next guy, and they're fine with it. I mean, they, like, literally don't care, like, who goes in. Put the rookie, put the undrafted free agent, and
practicing what they preach.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they've given so much power to these players personally with ownership of this team, and I think it started showing at the end of last year. Remember, we played undrafted free agents. We found these guys who out of nowhere, you know, because they gave them a chance. They believed in them and they trusted them. And I think there's a certain level of trust here with this team that kind of goes beyond the norm. And so I think if we do have a couple injuries here and there, it's not going to affect us greatly. I think the guys who come up behind us are going to come in and they're just going to do their job because they know that what they got to do. And they just believe, they trust. And there's such a higher level this year than I've seen in so long. And so even if we do have a couple injuries, I'm not even that worried. Like, it doesn't matter. None of it matters. We're just going to do it.
I agree, Jay.
You know, so, I mean,
This O-line is ready to go, baby. They've built a culture of being an elite O-line, and even the backups will buy into that. Like, Evan Brown clearly did last year. Like, this O-line. But I love the way Dan Campbell is addressing the situation. How many coaches would start to just be like, oh, yeah, we'll try Sewell at guard and try, like, Decker at center and, like, all this. Like, he's just like, that is like, you know, because that's always what they say. It's like, you know, the best five offensive linemen. But honestly, I don't think that's always practiced. You know, I think plenty of times you just see him put out the guy because it's his position, you know, and his next up. And he's truly showing that in practice. These guys are trying every position, every combination. Like, you know, I love that.
All right. So let's get to the next category. Okay. Rookie of the year for the Lions, just the Lions specifically. Now, I don't know if you want to include Hutch or not, because he is the favorite in Vegas to be defensive rookie of the year, like, out of the entire league.
Yeah.
My pick will be Hutch.
Hutch.
I mean, it's Hutch. Unanimous. Hutch.
Yeah.
Hutch, we can talk about our runner ups.
Nice, like, and easy. I don't think biggest surprise that maybe people aren't who will be the biggest surprise of the season this year, player wise?
I'll go first, if you don't mind. Obviously, all this stuff has been about Rodrigo. I think Derek Barnes is the guy who's going to be.
I like it.
We're going to be hearing his name a lot this year. I think he's the guy solidifying himself the way he came out at the end of camp. Campbell's impressed with him. I think he's a little under the radar. He doesn't have the hype, but I think he's going to be sneaky good. And Derek Barnes, my surprise guy.
I like that.
Mm. All right. Like Rud Dog.
Okay. Well, part of me wants to say Rodrigo, because I think he's just going to be better even than everyone's, like, imagining, and I think he's just going to be that good. But I'm going to go instead with Chris Board, because I think he's low-key just sleeping. Most people are sleeping on him on this roster, and this guy was, by all accounts, ready to pop on the freaking, you know, Ravens, where there's always good linebackers. So I have a feeling he's going to, maybe after a quiet camp, he's going to show up pretty regular in games and be a solid contributor in that linebacker core.
All right. UJ.
Surprise player. Well, boy, I got a few good candidates here, but I'm going to go with against my grain a little bit, but I'm going to say Jeff Okuda. Ooh. I think
I like it.
I haven't had a lot of faith in Okuda in the last couple of years, and he hasn't really shown anything. But, man, you got to just admire this guy's grit. It's incredible. I mean, his his comeback from injury, and I just I don't know, and he won the starting job outright pretty much, and I think he's gonna show some this year, and it might not be immediately, but I think as the season progresses and we see him play more, I'm looking for good things from Jeff Okuda. I think he's gonna be a surprise, really pleasant surprise for this team this year.
I like that, UJ. Hey, did you see Goff said they asked him who he's most impressed with on the defense coming out of camp, and he said Okuda.
Did he really?
Nice.
He challenged him. He made it tough for him every day.
Uh-huh. I like that.
So,
all right.
Well, Okuda was my first pick too, UJ, but I'll pick another one that was close for me as well. Deshaun Elliott, the free safety. I don't think a lot of people know about him yet. But new signing, this guy's getting his chance and opportunity to be an everyday starter in the league, and I think he's going to we're going to know his name at the end of the season for good reason.
Hey, I like how all our surprises are on defense.
Yes. So
we must be.
Yeah.
We're all hopeful.
Well, that's where the biggest gains are to be had. So,
true.
Yes.
True.
That's for sure.
Okay. Now the last two predictions I want you guys to make. This is just for the league in general. Who's going to win MVP and who will be the Super Bowl winner? Besides the Lions, if you didn't have to pick the Lions.
If we can't pick the Lions?
Yeah.
MVP of the league, wow.
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go.
Go.
Josh Allen.
Mm. He's the favorite right now, 6.5 to 1.
Oh, okay. So, and then the Lions for the Super Bowl, because that's what I do on this podcast.
Too easy.
Kool-Aid.
All right.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jared Goff. I think he's gonna light the league on fire this year and get that MVP locked down. And then you're right. I will not say another team. Detroit for the Super Bowl, baby. Man.
I want to say Goff.
All right, UJ, are you gonna take the easy road or pick a team that's not the Lions?
If I was gonna pick a team that's not the Lions right now. I know Josh Allen.
The Lions 150-1 to win the Super Bowl, by the way.
Easy money.
Josh Allen is kind of a favorite, but I'm just going to go kind of an obvious guy, Patrick Mahomes. I think the Chiefs did a lot this year to improve their team, even with losing, what the hell's that guy's name, the receiver? But
Tyreek Hill.
And I'm just going Mahomes. It's kind of an easy play, but I don't like it. But I would love to see Goff do it. I mean, if he takes the Lions to, if we win, 12 games, there's like he could easily be the MVP.
Goff is like 200-1 to win the MVP.
Yeah. Well, people are sleeping on him so hard. I think he could be so.
It's
good.
Like Campbell said, like, we're that horse that won the Kentucky Derby, right?
He's having his team tailored to him.
That horse was so far behind everybody and it came back and won the Derby. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, that's who we are. Yeah. We're that horse. So,
The Bills 5.5-1 are the favorites. Then the Buccaneers 7-1. Chiefs and Packers are 10-1. Rams 12-1. Chargers 14-1. 49ers 16-1. And then Broncos and Ravens 20-1. The Eagles are 22-1. And as I mentioned, Lions tied for the third lowest with the Bears and Seahawks. At 150-1. The only two lower than that are the Falcons and the Texans. So
is that dark horse range, 22-1, where the Eagles are? I thought that seems like pretty low odds.
Hey, why don't we all
that is about the
why don't we all chip range. In $20 on the Lions
to make a
to
million
win the Super Bowl. Make 15,000. It's worth it.
So my prediction, if the Lions don't win the Super Bowl is the Chiefs. To win the Super Bowl over the Saints, actually.
Saints.
Wait, who are you predicting,
Saints.
Though? What do you mean, if the Lions don't win? Who are you predicting to win the Super Bowl?
The Lions, of course.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
If if I had to pick one outside the Lions.
We didn't Saints. Understand the assignment.
This is the Outside the Lions podcast.
We refuse to acknowledge the assignment.
How do you get the Saints up there, Big Z?
I just like their. I love their defense, and I actually like their coach. So, and I think with Jameis Winston and then Michael Thomas, I think they have enough on offense. But I think their defense.
Chris Olave.
Dennis Allen's the coach I wanted the Lions.
Did Sean Payton leave
Yes.
New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So, Zach, if you could redo it again, would...
Pull that rock over your head, Red Dog. Stop living under it.
Oh, wait, what?
So he was the coach you wanted, Z?
I mean, I didn't even know Dan Campbell was on the radar. Obviously, since then, I've changed my mind. I really like what Dan Campbell's done in the direction they're going. But that's who I initially predicted and wanted 2 years ago.
Gotcha.
I think that is everything I wanted to cover. So those are our predictions for the season and our predictions for the Eagles game. So double prediction episode. Gotta love it. That'll probably be the only one of the year where we do that until the playoffs. So
get excited, Lions fans. Get excited, man.
The winning starts Sunday.
The Kool-Aid is going to be...
Oh, it's
so
going to be flowing.
Plentiful.
I'm going to be filled my pool full of Kool-Aid, my swimming pool.
Just imagine Shark catching like 60-yard bombs for touchdowns. Imagine them.
Hey.
Well, we'll see if Jared Goff throws it that far. So,
hey, he was throwing spirals in camp, though. Ooh. Which was, I know we mentioned that earlier, but it's worth re-mentioning. I don't think he threw a whole spiral once last year nor in the whole season. But during camp, he was throwing a lot of beautiful spirals. And if anyone's watched NFL films, you know, the most beautiful thing in the world is a spiraling football flying
spirals.
In slow motion toward a receiver.
That's a hard knock staple, a 1 minute clip of a football in the air.
Hey, but at least it was spiraling. UJ, if it was last year, that would have been a wobbling
football.
That's what I'm saying.
I got high up.
All right.
So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting a podcast.
Yeah. Sideline Report.
That.
Yeah.
Thank you to our producer, Kid Jay.
Kid Jay, for
producing a podcast. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get podcasts, download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that as well. Otherwise, Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. And stay tuned soon. We might have a contest for all our listeners to participate in to spread the love. So just stay tuned to that. Start paying attention to our social media for more news on that soon. Okay. Otherwise, thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Our best ever.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.
Go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.